The views and opinions expressed in the following paid program do not necessarily represent those of staff, management, or advertisers with WBIG Radio.
Your radio dial is locked. On the Gopher's Den Lawn and Gardening Show. Go from loafing around in the garden to being a master of your yard splendor. Yard splendor.
Hey, Mr. Gopher.
In the next half hour, you'll get the confidence you need to tackle those weekend projects with ease. You'll get information about proper methodology and the best materials available at a price you can afford. The Gopher's Den Lawn and Gardening Show is brought to you in part by 844-DIRT. 844-DIRT, improved earth products. And now it's time for another show straight from the Gopher's Den.
Welcome to the Gopher's Den Lawn and Landscape Show, the source for all your lawn and garden advice. You're in the den with Zach and Mike, and today we're going to talk a little about Lumbricus terrestris.
I beg your pardon?
That's what we're going to call it. I got worms.
Or the common earthworm, if you will.
Zach, I can't believe we're going to spend the entire show talking about worms. Can you please fill our listeners in why we're going to be talking about worms the entire show?
Well, the one thing I made a contractual obligation for was I want to devote some time to our friend the earthworm, and that was all I could do to make it happen was to include that into my contract.
So one entire show. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to need all the listeners of the Gopher's Den, all 12 of you.
That's you, Mom.
I'm going to need your help because it's just wrong for me to have to do this all on my own. So I'm definitely
going. That's almost cruel and unusual punishment.
Yeah, for me to listen is definitely alone is definitely cruel and unusual. But you know what? I'm going to be there with you, and I'm also going to give you some coping skills on how to deal with this situation. So I want you to grab your radio in your hand really tight. And whenever you think that you may lose consciousness or the ability to retain any more seemingly senseless information.
That's often accompanied by a little drool.
Yes, often accompanied by a little drool. I want you to take your radio and hit yourself in the skull really hard. Yes, that's right. I did say skull on the radio. But desperate times call for desperate measures. So I just want to say the radio is our friend. It's not just a listening device. It's an awakening device to get us through this quickening that we will be known as the worm show. So without further ado, Zach, bring us the worms.
Well, thank you much, Mike. Well, you know, earthworms are actually part of American history. They were actually brought here by the colonists in the 1600s by way of the plants and the ballast that they kept in the ships. The colonists actually used soil from Europe, put it in as ballast for their ships. They brought the ships over here and unloaded that ballast. Well, that caused the earthworms to get into our soil.
Interesting migration.
Definitely. And before then, there were actually no earthworms in North America. They were all tragically killed during the last ice age.
Wow. A land without earthworms. That truly is tragic, Zach.
Definitely. Definitely. And now, normally, here on the Gopher's Den, we say that invasive species are just very bad, and we always try to prevent that in any way possible. But in this case, it actually really worked out for our benefit. Once the worms were here, they found our soil. It was so rich in organic matter that they just kept going, and they converted. They stayed right ahead of the colonists and made this land valuable and flourishing.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So without worms, the soil that we have today would be, you know, extremely unproductive. So you could say it's kind of like a new world order of the worms, then, with this colonization.
Definitely, a new world order in the new world. exactly. But we got to make a distinction here. During this show, we're actually going to be talking about the common earthworm, or the nightcrawler, which is one of about 2,700 different species of land-dwelling earthworms. Now, earthworms are found throughout the world, with the largest that lives in South Africa that can reach lengths of up to 22 feet long.
22 feet long. That's absolutely incredible, Zach. How thick is that thing?
It's about an inch around. It's a big worm.
that's a big worm. I mean, you're gonna need a huge net to catch the fish that dangling
definitely
off that
or
one.
A pack of sparrows. I don't know. But fortunately for us, the common earthworm or the nightcrawler ranges in size from about 3.5 inches to 12 inches long. So
I feel pretty comfortable with that size.
There's no worries about a 20-foot nightcrawler curled up outside your doorstep after a good rain. And they actually get the name nightcrawler because they creep around at night on the surface of the earth and they feed on the leaves, which they then drag into their burrows. Now, even though worms are, you know, technically annelids and have very small, minuscule brains, they have the sense to actually pull those in by the narrow end into their hole so they actually fit, and they can bring them down there and compost them.
Wow, Zach, you know, that's one of the questions I have often pondered when I'm sitting alone. You know, time, space, continuum, what holds the atom together, and how the earthworm got its name. So thank you for filling in that blank for me.
Definitely, that's very fascinating. And another fascinating fact about worms is they can actually grow a new tail, but not a new head if they're cut in half.
Wait a second. I thought you could, you know, there's an urban legend that says you can cut a worm in half and you'll have two worms.
Well, actually, that's just like you said, Mike. It's an urban legend. It probably started from a pack of hungry robins. But seriously, only the front end or the head of the earthworm will survive, and the amputated tail portion will die.
So for fishing, definitely use the tail portion, and if you get tired, throw the rest with the head first back in the worm cooler.
Definitely, because you might actually regrow that part. The remaining portion of the head actually contains the clitellum, which is the the raised ridge along the worm is known as the clitellum. It actually houses many of its internal organs and is roughly halfway in the middle of the worm. It actually needs that to survive. So if it's cut on one side of that, the head end will survive.
That's pretty interesting. So the head grows, but the rest of the body dies. Why is that, Zach?
Well, that's because the worm actually has five pseudo hearts that are located actually closer to the clitellum in the head. Plus, the clitellum actually carries the worm's reproductive organs, so it's actually more important for that end to survive.
You know, five hearts, the ability to regrow itself. Gosh, this worm sounds more like the Terminator, you know. But, you know, how long do they live?
Well, it varies between species, but the common earthworm usually lives about 6 years. Now, normally healthy and long-lived, earthworms are actually discouraged if not killed outright by many pesticides and most chemical fertilizers. Now, nearly all commercial brands contain high levels of nitrogen in the form of ammonia, which destroys the earthworms by creating intolerably high acidic soil. Yet, the more organic material they receive, the faster they proliferate. And as they proliferate, so do their symbiotic progenitors, the microorganisms, the manufacturers of humus, and the basis of fertile soil. Now, these biodynamic preps create the ambience for the infusion of the essential cosmic and telluric forces that generate this metabolic miracle.
Wow, Zach. So really what you're saying is worms play an intricate part of our soil's ecosystem. And you know what? And they need high-quality organics, kind of like the ones we sell at 844 Dirt, Zach. So if you're looking to purchase some high-quality organics, check out our website, 844dirt.com. And for everything else, check out our resource partners.
Well, that's exactly what I was saying, Mike, without that shameless plug, but you are 100% correct. The more organic matter that you add to the soil, the more the worms will come, and in turn, promoting good bacteria in your soil. Well, that's all the time we have. We're going to promote some great organic products on our own, but stay tuned, because when we come back, we're going to have more of the Gopher's Den.
Trying to get your lawn and garden looking better? Ace Hardware has absolutely everything you need to get your job done right. Whether you're tackling a big project or a little one, we've got everything from fertilizers to sprinklers, garden tools, and more. And most importantly, helpful people that understand it all. We'll help you get it done right. Ace, the helpful place.
Visit DG Ace Hardware, the helpful place, in St. Charles on Main Street and in Aurora on New York Street.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware for.
You're listening to the Gopher's Den Landscape and Garden Show, brought to you by 844 Dirt. If you have any questions or tips, or would like to be a guest expert on the show, send us an email at thegophersden@844dirt.com. That's thegophersden@844dirt.com. If we use your question on the air, we'll send you a free Gopher's Den t-shirt, courtesy of the Gopher's Den. Well, let's get back to the den with the lovable little rodent himself.
844 Dirt is one of the largest residential mulch suppliers in the Fox Valley area, housing everything from Northwoods Mulch of Wisconsin to Alabama Bark Mulch from the Smoky Mountain region. 844 Dirt is the exclusive provider of the finest mulches found throughout the United States. 844 Dirt also carries the finest organic weed-free screened mushroom compost available. Our courteous, uniformed drivers deliver all these products right to your home. To see a full selection of the products we carry and to utilize our handy materials calculator, head to our website at 844dirt.com.
Your lawn is pleading with you. Listen up. It's more of the Gopher's Den Lawn and Gardening Show right now.
Welcome back to the Gopher's Den Lawn and Landscape Show. As you know, this is the Worm Show.
I beg your pardon?
That's what we're going to call it. I got worms.
Now that we know a little about the earthworm's story, we should talk about some of the practical uses of worms as a soil amender, if you will.
Yeah, Zach, before you started this prolific event called the Earthworm Show, or the Worm Show, to be quite honest with you, I never knew just how beneficial worms were.
All right. And you haven't even heard it all yet, Mike.
That's what I'm afraid of.
That's what I'm scared of. Worms actually help to increase the amount of air and water that gets into the soil. They break down the organic matter, like leaves and grass, into things that plants can actually use. Now, when they eat, they leave behind castings that are a very valuable type of fertilizer. In fact, these castings contain 5 times more nitrogen, 7 times more phosphorus, 11 times more potassium, and 1,000 times more beneficial bacteria than the material that the earthworm initially ingested.
Zach, that's absolutely amazing. You know, the worms eat leaves, thatch, and other yard waste that would really be a burden to us in our, you know, in our lawn and gardening. And they actually convert these materials that are waste products into, you know, really valuable natural fertilizers. Mm-hmm. That is absolutely amazing.
It is. I think that's quite amazing.
I tell you what, that is enough just to say, man, I can just turn off the radio now because I've learned so much.
But you shouldn't turn off your radio.
But I tell you what, what's more amazing than that, and how could it be, what's more amazing than that is you could actually get away with calling worm poop castings.
well, that's actually the technical name for worm poo, as you've said, are called castings. We'll just go on from there then.
Castings. Yeah, well, I could just see you with a cup of tea. It's worm castings.
They actually do have worm casting tea, by the way.
Oh gosh.
One study showed that actually on each year in an acre of soil of average cultivated land, up to 16,000 pounds of soil pass through an earthworm's guts and are deposited atop of the soil. Up to 30,000 pounds in a really wormy soil. I mean, that's amazing.
Wow. 15 tons of worm poo. Castings.
Castings.
Or whatever you want to call it. That's a lot of material.
Yeah.
Valuable material.
Valuable and highly nutrient beneficial.
Absolutely, Zach.
You see, earthworms are like free farm help.
Free farm help with kind of without all those child labor laws.
Those stringent labor laws, yeah. They help to turn the soil, bringing down the organic matter from the top and mixing it with the soil below. Now, if there were 500,000 worms living in an acre of soil, they could make 50 tons of castings in a year. Now, that's amazing right there, but these same 500,000 worms burrowing in that acre of soil can create a drainage system that is equal to 2,000 feet of 6-inch pipe. And that's one of their most overlooked attributes.
Wow. You know, I can't say it enough. Wow. I never realized that little worms, you know, could create so much aeration and drainage. That's, mm-hmm. that's absolutely incredible. 50 tons of castings, you know, or worm poo, which, you know, is high-grade fertilizer, natural fertilizer. And just think of all the organic matter, wasted matter.
That was processed in order to get that.
Yeah, processed to get that. So they, again, changed that waste into very valuable nutrients for our soil.
Definitely. This is one of nature's top composters is the earthworm, and it's highly overlooked. But by digging into the subsoil, loosening it, and threading it up with tunnels, these earthworms gradually deepen the topsoil layer. By actually ripping up the fine mineral particles and depositing them as castings on or near the surface of the soil, they're constantly adding nutrients to the zone which plant roots feed, delivering the mineral substances that would otherwise remain largely unavailable to most plants.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Zach. As the worms gravitate deeper into the soil, they're constantly bringing the organic matter down with them. And, you know, I mean, multiple worms, they die, they nest, you know, I mean, just your topsoil is becoming deeper into that clay matter.
Definitely. You're always lowering that layer of topsoil, which is always going to be beneficial for you.
That's awesome.
Now, with their mixing, digging, burrowing, fertilizing, and humus-making activities, the worms have an immense impact on the soil, its texture, its fertility, and its ability to support everything that lives in it or on it, especially the plants that form the basis of our food chain. But hey, a worm's got to eat.
That's a really good point, Zach. Worms got to eat. But we got to eat, too. And the last time I checked, we weren't having worms for lunch. So the way we eat here at 844 Dirt is we sell high-quality organic materials, such as our pre-blended mushroom compost soil with everything you need to give your worms a delicious dinner. And fill those lawn and garden areas, too. So check out our website, 844dirt.com. And for everything else, check out our resource partners. Find one near you and click and save. Hey, remember, save a worm.
Now, you seem like that's the spirit. I knew I would make it pro-worm by the end of this show. You're already feeling the earthworm love.
I'm feeling the earthworm love, I mean, especially when we could throw in a plug.
Yeah. Always Mike for the shameless plug. But, like I said before, the earthworm is so highly overlooked because it's below your foot. I mean, you often never actually see the earthworm.
Yeah, Zach, I never knew worms did so many great things for us. I mean, if you just go over them, they provide some great natural fertilizers that can only be found with the earthworms.
Definitely. And again, they're taking material that would otherwise be wasted, concentrating the material, and making a great organic natural fertilizer.
Yeah, and the aeration that worms provide is absolutely necessary to for drainage, creating oxygen penetration into the soil, and also bringing those organic materials lower into the soil and providing, again, vast amounts of drainage.
Definitely. Most of the crops that we grow today wouldn't actually be able to grow if it weren't for the earthworm. These things actually get into the soil and loosen it and enrich it to the point where we can have all these vast farm fields and farmlands.
Boy, you know what? I think we should kind of make it a standard to have at least, half a million earthworms per acre as pets.
Well, yeah. I think that'd be a little extreme, but, do what you can to save a worm, folks. I stress that enough. Maybe we should have a worm day or something, National Worm Day.
National Worm Day?
All right. Benefit our friend, the earthworm.
Okay, you start that off, Zach.
I'll get on that, but in the meantime, we got to take a break right now, but stay tuned, because when we get back, I got tons of earthworm trivia right here on the Gopher's Den.
Trying to get your lawn and garden looking better? Ace Hardware has absolutely everything you need to get your job done right. Whether you're tackling a big project or a little one, we've got everything from fertilizers to sprinklers, garden tools, and more. And most importantly, helpful people that understand it all. We'll help you get it done right. Ace, the helpful place.
Visit Ace in Aurora on Lake Street and Ace in Aurora on Galena Boulevard.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folks.
You're listening to the Gopher's Den Landscape and Garden Show, brought to you by 844-DIRT. If you have any questions or tips, or would like to be a guest expert on the show, send us an email at thegophersden@844dirt.com. That's thegophersden@844dirt.com. If we use your question on the air, we'll send you a free Gopher's Den t-shirt, courtesy of the Gopher's Den. Well, let's get back to the den with the lovable little rodent himself. Do you care for a lawn?
844-DIRT.
Tend to a garden?
844-DIRT.
Nurture plants?
844-DIRT.
With high-quality earth products such as topsoil, compost, mulch, and more, 844-DIRT can help you with your most earthly prospects.
844-DIRT can also accommodate small deliveries right to your home, staffed with courteous uniformed drivers.
844-DIRT.
Online, 844DIRT.com provides a full product inventory as well as a materials calculator so you'll see what you're getting and how much you will need.
Proudly serving the Fox Valley area with high-quality improved earth products since 1990. 844-DIRT is a name you can trust.
You're tuned into the Gopher's Den Lawn and Gardening Show. Make way in your noggin. Much more info is on its way.
Welcome back to the Gopher's Den Lawn and Landscape Show. As you probably know, this is the Worm Show. And to celebrate my final 7 minutes of annelid glory, I've gathered up all the trivial information I could think of about the earthworm. So today I have a plethora of questions that relate to our helpful garden friend, the earthworm.
Wow, a plethora. That's a big word. I'm going to have to get the dictionary to look that one up. But do you mind if I kind of help and ask some of the questions, since you've pretty much carried the entire show with all of its scientific facts?
Well, I'm a beast of burden, Mike, but go ahead. Why don't you read these off?
Well, I would think that, we talked a little bit about what earthworms eat, and I'd like to know a little bit more about that. What do earthworms eat, and how much can they eat in a day?
That's a good question.
That's what you do.
Earthworms derive their nutrition from many forms of organic matter in the soil. Things like decaying roots and leaves, like we talked about earlier, on the surface of the soil, and living organisms such as nematodes, protozoans, rotifiers, bacteria, and fungi that are in the soil. They also feed on the decomposing remains of other animals, including their own. They can consume in one day up to a third of their body weight, with some species able to consume their entire body weight in a single day.
Wow, can you imagine if we tried to consume our entire body weight in a day?
I couldn't afford to consume my entire body weight in a day.
I could just see you kind of falling over and rolling.
You'd have to roll me from point to point.
I can't get up. Well, that's pretty interesting, Zach. How do these, we talked about, worms and but we didn't talk anything about how they procreate, how they how do earthworms mate? I'm sure that you've taken several classes.
I've actually went to a lecture on this before. Yeah.
Oh God, did you really?
No, are you kidding? Okay. Do they have earthworm mating season? No, but actually, earthworms are hermaphroditic, meaning that each worm has
What? Say that again.
Hermaphroditic.
Oh wow.
Meaning they have organs of both sexes. The male gonophores are usually within the first 12 to 15 segments, and the female gonophores are further back, closer to the clitellum, which is that raised area on the worm we've talked about. Now, one worm actually has to find another worm, and they mate by juxtaposing their opposite clitellums to each other so that they connect. And in this connection, they actually exchange packets of sperm called spermatophores.
Spermatophores. Is that a metaphor?
Actually, metaphors use like or as. This is a spermatophore.
Spermatophore,
yeah.
So it's just kind of like two worms passing in the night.
Yeah, you know, you accidentally come up on another worm in the tunnel, you pass by, and the next thing you know, you're pregnant.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, you have made that interesting and disgusting, Zach. Thank you for that.
Well, thank you. And actually, some species actually appear to be parthenogenic, which means that...
sure, you're going to tell us what that
means. Oh, yeah, I'll definitely tell you. It means that they can actually self-fertilize their own eggs, kind of creating little clones of themselves.
Wow, I really needed to know that. Well, I guess the next one is, you know, I've often wondered, you know, what happens when it freezes? You know, when we get that thick layer of snow or it gets really cold, do worms freeze?
Well, like all invertebrates, their body processes or metabolism slow down with the falling temperatures. They'll hibernate when the temperatures are near freezing, but if they are frozen, they will die. But they react to the cold by advancing deeper into the soil, up to 2 meters, or 6.5 feet for those of you who are in America.
Yes, thank you.
And when they dig down in the soil, they go into a reduced metabolic state known as estivation, which is kind of like hibernation, but for invertebrates.
Yeah, kind of like those movies where they kind of freeze you in a cryogenic chamber.
And send you to another planet. Yeah.
Right, that movie. You seen that one?
I saw that one.
Okay.
Right. What else you got for me, Mike? Come on.
Well, I tell you what, you know, this is something that I'm sure everyone asks. You know, why do worms come onto the sidewalks and driveways when it rains? I mean, are they getting flooded out? I've often heard, oh, it rained and they got flooded out of their, you know, holes or, you know, passages.
Well, me, along with many other worm experts, say that worms don't come to the surface to avoid drowning. In fact, they actually come to the surface during rains, especially during the spring rains, because they've been deep into the soil all winter. They come up to the top so they can move over the land. It's actually a lot easier for them to move across the surface of the soil than to go through the soil. Now, when it rains, the conditions are wet, and the worms have to keep their skin wet in order to survive, because they breathe through their skin.
Hmm. So really, they're not getting flooded out. They just they're constantly moving. So this creates a condition with the water that they can actually have more buoyancy and move faster, quicker.
Yeah,
so it's their natural reaction.
Exactly, right? They get up and they move to a different area because they can travel further distances. If the worm does dry out, it will die. But in most times, in average water, there's enough oxygen to diffuse through the skin. So a worm is not going to drown if it stays underground. It just chooses to come up to the top because of mobility reasons.
Right. Well, that's pretty interesting. Well, then I only have one more question, Zach. When it does rain like that, how come it always smells like worms?
Well, it's because when the worms are in the soil, they travel through a bacteria called Actinomycetes. This bacteria has that earthen smell that we associate with the earthworm. So when these worms come up to the top of the soil during a rain, that bacteria gets spread into the air and we smell it. Since, you know, we don't see the bacteria, we see the earthworms, we associate that smell with the earthworms and we say, hey, this is the earthworm smell. But no, it's the bacteria that's smelling.
The bacteria in the ground.
In the ground. And it's just associated with rains because, you know, we associate, you know, everybody sees worms when it rains.
And then has that smell and then we just, you know, draw that conclusion, which isn't really the conclusion.
Definitely. And this goes along with my Save a Worm program, folks. When it rains, it's very imperative that you gather all the worms you can off the sidewalk and street. You don't want them to dry out and get crusted up. And add them to your garden. Great enrichment. We've talked about the drainage they provide. They're just great tools to have.
Good tip, Zach. Save a worm.
Yeah. But now let's hear the gopher's tip of the week, because everybody loves to hear it from the furry little rodent himself. Wow.
Yeah, wow. I don't know if I'm going to be eating from the same menu he is.
Yeah, Mr. Gopher said, in a pinch for food, grab yourself an earthworm and chow down. Earthworms are 82% protein and are best if eaten raw. Some cousins of mine actually enjoyed a 22-foot worm buffet in South Africa. Worms, they're good eating.
That's good eating for sure. Well, I tell you what, I don't plan on eating any earthworms, but that's all we got for today. See you next time on the Gopher's Den.